everybody. Connor here. This is a 372 mini. I guess it's a new segment we're kind of trying out. This is an idea I've been kicking around for a while, so we're going to see if it works. We have no idea if it actually will. But Mike, yesterday I, out of the blue, asked you if you, an adult man, respected in his community and a proud father of two, future grandfather, wanted to go on the air and read some Encyclopedia Brown mysteries.
I confess I was excited. Yes. I'm a fan.
Are you?
I probably started on Encyclopedia Brown, which I believe is the gateway drug to the Hardy Boys.
Sure.
And I used to, I worked for an allowance, and I would take my allowance and go to this little bookstore, and I would just like spend an hour looking on the shelf of those Hardy Boys mysteries. And then I would proudly buy that, and the store all knew, here he comes, he's getting the latest Hardy Boys. So yes, mysteries of this sort, I'm in. I'm all in.
You'd walk out of the store, you know, with a thing of a bag of penny candy ready to get the pages of your Hardy Boys all sticky.
I would I'd have one of those newsy caps on and be a stick and a wheel rolling it down there, trying to hold on to my paper bag of penny candy.
Well, these are a little, more quick hit than the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, this is quick hit, but it's the same thing, right?
I guess you could solve the Hardy Boy mysteries if you were reading along. I don't remember those.
Yeah, but these are more, yes, these are like read... If the Hardy Boys were in Parade magazine, Encyclopedia Brown would be the...
Yeah, so I read them too. They came in books of like, 10 or a dozen little mysteries. And they have... I started in 1963, and the author was Donald Sobel, who I looked him up. He looks sort of like a kindly Ed Asner type.
Sure, okay.
So that's nice, but...
on brand.
They have a touch of weirdness going on in them. I've been reading some of them to try to find good ones to challenge you with, and there's just some weird stuff going on in Idaville, where Encyclopedia Brown lives. You know, there's multiple gangs, of boys.
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's a kid who collects teeth.
Humans?
But I have of all different kinds, and he seems to be a recurring character in these things. So, he has a partner named Sally, but it's a whole little world. So I think not only trying to solve these things, but just enjoying the ride as you go along, I think is going to be kind of a fun little challenge here.
Good, I'm in.
Okay, well, let's start with this one. This is a book. It's from the second Encyclopedia Brown book, The Case of the Secret Pitch. Mm-hmm. And this one's called The Case of the Glass of Ginger Ale. So they were running low on interesting titles, even by book two here, but it does deliver what it promises. So here we go. Chief Brown put down his cup of coffee. "Do you know anything about ginger ale?" he asked. "It comes in a bottle, and I don't like it as much as root beer," answered Encyclopedia. "What a strange question, dear," said Mrs. Brown, who was clearing away the dinner plates. "It's a mighty strange case," replied Chief Brown. "Ruffino de Verona is in the middle of it." "Ruffino de Verona!" exclaimed Encyclopedia. "The famous blind violinist?"
That's a good Sherlock Holmes moment where, Watson would be reading the paper and then... And then Holmes would exclaim suddenly and go like, I've written a little monograph on him. If you'll look behind you on the shelf there, Watson, here's a book I wrote about this guy.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that Encyclopedia knows who this is.
Yeah, I forget if he's introduced as a, all-around precocious kid or just a detective, but I guess he's just a little genius here.
And just to be clear, that I think I was making the Hardy Boys connection because isn't their father is also...
A detective?
On the force, I believe, some sense.
So they have to throw in on his actual murder and, abduction cases and stuff like that.
I think he gives them, the downstream stuff. Somebody, beat a hobo to death. You guys figure that out.
Another jade statue went missing. That seems to happen a lot. Go track it down. Yes. He says, "The famous blind violinist? Yes, he has a summer home on the beach," said Chief Brown. "He asked me to drop by this evening. He believes he's been tricked out of his prize violin by a glass of ginger ale." Mm. With, With a whopper like that ringing in his ears, Encyclopedia could hardly stay in his chair.
What's the whopper part of that?
I guess it's just a big deal. It's not. I mean, a whopper is usually a lie, but it's a the old timiness of some of these is pretty great, and I think they do stretch into probably the 80s and stuff. So it'll be funny to see if Encyclopedia still talks like an old-timey little rascal as it ventures into the, like, the computer era.
I hope occasionally someone pulls a boner for him. You know, that's always a good one.
Can I go with you, Dad? He asked. Chief Brown looked at Mrs. Brown. You may as well take him along, she said. He may never get a chance to meet someone like Ruffino de Verona. But be home by 9:30. Encyclopedia dashed to his room. He dug out his autograph book. When he reached the car, his father was waiting behind the wheel. Night was beginning to fall as they drove up to the house of the blind violinist. A maid showed them into the living room. Mr. De Verona, a tall, white-haired man wearing dark glasses, came forward. Chief Brown, he said, holding out his hand, you brought someone with you. Judging from the sound of his sneakers, I should say a lad of 10 or 12. My son, Leroy, said Chief Brown. He's 10. So,
yeah. A lad. That's a risk, right? I mean, first of all, it could be like, hi, it's me, Dave. I wear sneakers.
Sure, you know,
like,
sure. Yes.
I am actually 65 and a very distinguished member of the music reviewing community, and thumbs down to you, sir.
Yeah, this is. I'm going to bury you, Ruffino de Verona.
Yes, or it could obviously just be a woman. And
sure, yes. It's,
that'd be pretty insulting.
But I guess this is just when that was wearing sneakers, purely the realm of rapscallious youth. And did you pick up what his full name is then?
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it.
He says, my son Leroy, said Chief Brown.
Oh, okay. I don't think you could have, under torture, I could not have come up with that.
So potentially it's up for debate, the most famous Leroy Brown in existence. He's bad.
He's Leroy Brown.
Mr. De Verona says, so nice of you to come too, Leroy. He motioned father and son to chairs, but remained standing himself. I'm almost too ashamed to tell you what happened. You'll think me a fool. Over the telephone, you had said you lost your prize violin, said Chief Brown. Lost in a bet, said Mr. De Verona. I made a bet last night with Hans Brown, concertmaster of the Glendon Symphony, and lost.
Brown?
B-R-A-U-N.
Oh, Braun.
Braun,
okay.
Yes. Right. Right, yes. It's my brother, yes. Leroy's beloved uncle. So he's the concertmaster of the Glendon Symphony. He crossed the room to a table. On the table was a tray, several glasses, an ice bucket, and three bottles of ginger ale. Encyclopedia marveled at how easy the sightless musician moved among the furniture. Clara, my maid, had the night off, and Hans Braun and I were alone in the house, said Mr. De Verona. We sat in this room, and the talk soon moved from music to mysteries. Hans is especially interested in locked room puzzles. Almost before I knew it, I'd bet my Straparius violin against his Straparius.
I was wondering what kind of fake violin maker they would come up with. Straparius?
I mean, I guess that's modified enough not to be legally infringing.
What is the game that he likes?
Especially interested in locked room puzzles.
Oh, locked room puzzles. Yes. Gotcha. Okay.
Is that something you've heard of?
I feel like it's a you know, like a N'Gayo Marsh, the author. I think she does a lot of those kind of, like, you know, it's the old timey, right? I've gathered you all together here because one of you could be in. You know.
Yeah, it's impossible to Google now because of escape rooms, but
right,
yeah, bottle episodes, I guess. Mr. De Verona ran his fine, strong fingers through his mop of white hair. I didn't think I could lose. Hans positively worked a miracle to win. The blind musician reached into the ice bucket. He dropped four pieces of ice into a tall glass. Hans said, oh, this ice is cold, as he filled a glass with four pieces of ice, just as I have done, said Mr. De Verona. Then Hans gave me the glass to hold. I heard him open a bottle of ginger ale. He left the room carrying it. Mr. De Verona, glass in hand, went to the door of the living room and locked it. I locked the door after making sure that Hans was out in the hall. Next, I locked the two windows. Mr. De Verona went about locking the two windows. One was behind a piano, the other behind Chief Brown's chair. Now there was no way of getting into the living room without breaking the window or door. This sounds like something that like would happen to Batman or Captain Marvel in one of those serials. Like,
yes.
Mr. De Verona strode across the room. He stopped at an oil painting hanging on the wall and pushed it aside. Behind the painting was a wall safe. I felt in Hans' glass to make sure it was filled only with ice, he said. Then I put the glass with the ice inside the safe and locked the safe. Mr. De Verona locked the safe and replaced the oil painting. He walked to the door and switched off the lights. For a second, the lone sound was the ticking of the grandfather clock by the bookcase. Mr. De Verona's voice came from the darkness. The bet was that I was to sit in an easy chair in the middle of the room. I was to stay seated exactly 1 hour. In that hour, Hans was to enter the locked, lightless room, open the locked safe, take out the glass, remove the ice, pour into the glass the bottle of ginger ale he had carried into the hall, lock the safe, leave the room, and lock the door behind him, all without my hearing him. Do you need me to retract
that? Wait, this was the bet they made for his for his beloved, I mean, I guess this is the 60s, so what was a, let's just call it a Stradivarius.
Yes, yes.
Back then, I don't know, 150,000, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like it's, that? You know, it's a famous enough violin that, yeah, even I've heard of it through popular culture, like the Far Side of the Simpsons. So, like,
so he's priceless. So this guy, Hans Braun, goes, oh, you like locked room puzzles, huh? You want to put up your strap of paria poops? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put ice into a glass, and then I'm going to pour from a bottle of ginger ale. Then you're going to put it in the safe, and then I'm going to come in without you hearing.
He has to enter the room, open the locked safe, take out the glass, remove the ice that's in there, pour the ginger ale into the glass, lock the safe back up, leave, and lock the door behind him.
Okay, yeah, so earlier it says he heard him open a bottle of ginger ale, but he did not put any. He just put ice into the glass. I'm a little foggy.
Yes, he
that.
Filled the he. Hans said, oh, this ice is cold, as he filled a glass with four pieces of ice, just as I have done, said Mr. De Verona. Then Hans gave me the glass to hold. I heard him open a bottle of ginger ale, and he left the room carrying it.
I like that he can hear a bottle of ginger ale being opened, not just a bottle. I could distinguish that. I used to be able to tell who was coming down the stairs with my family. I'm sure we can all do that.
By footfalls,
yes. Like, that's a bottle of ginger ale he opened. I can tell by the size of the bubbles fizzing out of the top.
Ah, oh, you're a Werner's guy, I see. Yes. I'm Canada Dry. But I also, you said that De Verona likes these locked room puzzles. Hans Braun is the guy who likes the locked room puzzles.
Okay, so got it.
They're
okay.
Just sitting around and, like, you know, I've bet with my friends, like, oh, like, the next pitch is going to be a curveball or something. But they sit around, and this is what they do for fun. Not, like, who can do the most push-ups or, like, a bird's going to fly by. Intricate thing. If someone proposed something this intricate, you'd have to imagine they were doing it to cheat you in some way, because it doesn't just roll off the tongue.
I like to think that at their previous meeting, one of them, like, duct-taped a pillow to his head and said, okay, jump up off that little trampoline into the light fixture and bash it off, and then we'll both shotgun a beer when this is over.
Right.
Woo! And then when he broke his arm going on the way down, he cackled. Braun is just like,
yeah,
you idiot.
Cut to him conducting in the sling at the, at the orchestra hall. Okay, so he's just described the bet. Mr. De Verona sat down in an easy chair in the center of the dark room. I can tell time by the raised numbers on my wristwatch, the blind musician said. After an hour had passed, I had heard nothing. I was sure I had the bet won. I unlocked the door and kept Hans talking in the hall so that I should know where he was. I crossed the room and opened the safe. The glass was still there. The ice was gone. Instead, the glass was filled by thunder with ginger ale. I tasted it! ! Mr. De Verona slapped the arms of his chair in bewilderment. How did Hans do it? He cried. For a long moment, the room was still. Finally, Mr. De Verona arose and switched on the lights. Chief Brown looked questioningly at Encyclopedia. Any ideas? His eyes asked. Encyclopedia nodded. "May I ask a question, sir?" "Please do, Leroy," said Mr. De Verona. "Who brought up the subject of locked rooms?" asked the boy detective. "Why, now that I think about it, I suppose it was Hans," answered Mr. De Verona. "What is the difference?" "What I want to know is, why didn't I hear him?" "There's nothing wrong with your hearing, sir," said Encyclopedia. "No man could have heard the second clue." He picked up his autograph book. "Would you please sign this for me?" Encyclopedia, so this is where it's all, this is now bold, all caps. "Encyclopedia knew how Hans had filled the glass in the safe with ginger ale. Do you?"
Oh my God. I believe I can solve it. I think the doctor is a woman. I just blew your mind,
Hans,
didn't I?
Braun is a, yeah.
That is, I recalled him being harder than that. When I was young, I thought I would almost half the time have to read the thing.
Okay.
And I thought I had it. In this one, I mean, we don't have to discuss the actual thing, do we?
Well, of course we do. You can't just pretend like you know the answer and then tap out.
Hans Braun came with a tray full of frozen ginger ale, of course.
There is a second part to it. You are correct.
Okay. Oof. Well, I passed that test.
Smarter
than a fifth grader.
Do you have anything else that you want to weigh in on? Because he does say this is the second clue.
Oh, the second clue.
Yes.
I have to admit I was a little foggy on who was talking at which time when he's describing what happened the night before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I may have missed something there. I thought for sure, just to be completely candid, that the violinist was not going to be blind.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, like, when he was deftly navigating the room, if there was anything that you wanted to weigh in or any suspicions being raised, but I thought that might...
It seems like that's legit. That would be a weird... there'd have to be a whole addendum to this story about the blind violinist who pretended for 40 years to be blind. Right. I don't know what the other thing is.
Okay, well here we go. This is so for fifth graders, this is what the author was going for. The first clue was Hans's remark, "Oh, this ice is cold." It was a silly, obvious thing to say. It only made sense if it covered up another sound he didn't want the blind violinist to hear. Any guesses what this sound might be?
But if it's already cubes, what would he, I don't know, reaching into his pocket and pulling out the ice bucket that he
Yes, all right. You're on the right track. Encyclopedia reasoned he reasoned that the other sound was, this is him reasoning, the other sound was Hans tearing open an insulated bag, the kind of bag which keeps ice from melting. Yes, Hans had brought his own ice. He did not take the four pieces of ice from Mr. De Verona's ice bucket. The pieces of ice in the glass which Mr. De Verona put in the safe were not made of water. Hans had made them by freezing ginger ale. Hans never did open the safe. He never even entered the room. He simply waited in the hall for an hour. The second clue, the one no man could have heard, was the sound of the frozen pieces of ginger ale melting. When Mr. De Verona opened the safe, the pieces of ice had all melted, filling the glass with ginger ale.
Wow.
The
blind part of it reminds me, it's so clumsy. When I was in a freshman, a 100 level class we had to take, there was the teacher in this large, room was blind.
Okay.
And guys sitting next to me who I, sort of knew would go like, make a noise for a second. I'm just going to leave. He's not going to know. And so I would go, yeah, sure. And I'd start, fake coughing or something. And then when they were just about out the door, because he could hear, he could hear people leaving the door. I'd go, see you later, Dan. Go, you son of a... And then they'd just run out. He'd go, who just left? I was like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Dan, damn it. And then he'd make a mark in his book. It's like,
wow.
But that's about as clever as that.
Well attuned to doing this. Yeah, it doesn't seem like maybe they were more common back in the day when ice was more of a precious resource or something.
I guess so. Insulated bags. Wow.
All right. Oh. Well, I think that's pretty impressive. You arrived at the correct solution without having to dance through the insane hoop that the guy put in front of you.
I was thinking you were going to come, and maybe I shouldn't spoil this one, but there was one I remember I was very angry at myself for not getting, and it was that somebody said that I could not have been the criminal, blah, 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 you know, all the stuff they throw at you. Uh-huh. Because I drove to Chicago, let's say, and I just came back. It's a long trip. And then something, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he picked his toddler up uh-huh. off the front of the car. And so I was like, what is that? And of course it was, the car engine would have been too hot to set your toddler on.
Yes.
Had you driven to Chicago. And I remember going like, God, I should have got that. I was just like kicking myself for days. You idiot. Stupid.
That's the case of the happy nephew in the first book. I read that one.
You had that? So yeah. You just read that one? It's been probably literally 50 years.
Yes, exactly. I remembered there's another one that stuck in my memory from that time. Maybe we'll get to it sometime.
Okay, well, I guess I'm... maybe as smart as I was. Who knows? Because I'll probably go maybe no better than fanfic or real on this.
Mm, yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
So I'm happy that I came out of the gate with a solid win. And I'm smarter than my, 8-year-old self. So I'm glad. But yeah, let's do more of these. That's good. Okay. I like these. It's great. It's fun to go back in time.
Yeah, let us know what you think, people. It could be a fun little bonus thing to do from time to time. Thank you.
All right. See ya.